Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time. You join me by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock. And we now stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You joined me by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. And WION is also heard at 100.3 FM in the Lowell Ada area. So we thank you for joining us this morning. You joined me by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we now stream both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you joined me by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. I welcome you. Those that's listening by way of my website is simply pastorkenharger.com. Bring your mouse up over where it says Messages from the Lighthouse, and you'll see Current Media show up. Click on Current Media, and it takes you to the broadcast that I have for this morning. And I'm glad, whatever way you join me, I'm glad to have you with me for our time together this morning. I need to take care of right away those that help with the financial cost of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. A big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area. To Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's from the Greenville area. And to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, we appreciate each of these supports so very much. And Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. We're glad to have each one of you taking part in our broadcast time in this way that you do. Thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music for this morning. And I always like to give an invitation to Shiloh Community Church, because that's where I pastored for 50 years, been attending there since my retirement from the church for 11 years, and I just like to give an invitation. At Shiloh, it begins Saturday evening, 6 o'clock. Sunday morning, we have a 9 o'clock service. That's where most of the old hymns and so on are sung. And then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, that is located in the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Larray Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to attend any one of those services that you would so desire to be a part of. Well, as we share our message this morning, the church is to do the work of a farm, and we're to realize that we are becoming, as we do this work and we grow, become what God wants us to become. We are the bride of Christ, and one day Christ is going to come for his bride. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments, but what a privilege it is for me to be able to share with you. I'm coming to you from the lighthouse. I can't see very far. I can see the end of our dock. It's really a foggy Wednesday morning that I'm putting together the service for Sunday. But I just had a boat go by, a couple fishermen are just kind of using their troll motor and doing a little trolling, looking for that big fish, I think. Well, it doesn't matter about the cloudiness. As the day goes on, I'm sure that the cloudiness will lift and we realize that we have these kinds of days. But as I share the message, what we've been talking about, and this is the last message of this series, I'm sharing the message about what Jesus said he was going to build his church. And we've been looking about the things that Jesus uses to build his church and the way that he does it and the things that he's looking for. And then that could teach us that that's what a local church should be doing, like Shiloh or whatever church you attend, ought to be accomplishing some of these things that Jesus was building into the church. But before we get started, we're going to use the farmer as our illustration today for the first part of the message. And so we got a song entitled The Lord of Harvest. Now, you know, being a farmer, you got to realize that you're looking for a harvest. And Jesus is going to use the farmer to describe what his ministering church should be like and what he wanted his church that he was building to accomplish. And so he's telling us that, you know, one of the main things is that when we get done, there has to be a harvest for the work that we've been able to do. And harvest time is coming. I've already noticed a lot of the winter wheat has been picked, you know, and harvested already, and you've seen that too. And I was up in the Sydney area, and they was getting ready to harvest some of the potatoes, probably the ones that are early potatoes. But we need to realize that that's the way it is. So let's listen to this song. And God's thinking in your life and thinking in my life this morning that he wants us to be able to have a harvest from our life so that we can bring the Church of Christ forward in whatever way we can. So I'll be right back in just a few moments. And I hope you'll just be tuning me in and getting the message for this morning. God bless you.
From the seeds of faith we planted long ago, so many the hearts in season, with every prayer they've grown. He has made them ready, but we must bring them home.
Lord of the harvest,
place your fire in me.
Sir,
a free wind so quickly slips away. Too soon today is tomorrow, too soon a yesterday. So little time for the reaping, and laborers are few.
Lord of the harvest, And we need to know that that's what he's reminding us we're to be. He is the Lord, and he's telling us we're to be his servants. We're to fulfill the purpose of what he's trying to build his church to be. Last week we talked about the work that God wants us to do. Now this week we get a good illustration to tell us of what the work is supposed to be like. And I love the illustration of a farmer. The farmer's work is never done. Those of you that's been on farm, you know that. The farmer's work is never done. And farm work is an easy work. If you're looking for an easy way to raise your, to have your life, that's not an easy way, even with all the modern equipment we have today. That's not an easy way. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And there's a lot of things that has to happen in order for that to be successful and to get a harvest. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but I want to remember the listening audience in my prayer this morning. So let's just bow for a moment. Dear Father, once again I come to you, and I come in behalf of the listening audience, everyone that's tuned me in and hears my voice at this moment. Dear Father, whatever the need is in their life, I pray that you would meet that need according to your will. Father, we're needy people because we go through many different things in our life. Some may have went through the idea this past week that they had to have a surgery, or even for me, I had to have my teeth cleaned. It's something simple, but at the same time, it's something that's not all of us look forward to saying that's fun to do. Others have had a funeral service and a loved one has passed on. Others are going through whatever difficulty it is financially, emotionally, or spiritually. Father, whatever the listening audience has experienced this week, I ask your special hand of blessing to be upon them. I especially want to remember the older ones and maybe some of the loneliness they experienced this week. And I pray that maybe somebody would drop by to visit them, family or friend. And I just pray, Father, that you'd be with the older ones. I like to call them the older sheep of the flock. That you would be with them, Father, and watch over them and meet their every need according to your will. Dear Jesus, I thank you you're building your church on planet Earth. And dear Jesus, I thank you that you want to use us to help do that. And dear Jesus, I thank you for letting me be a part of that church that you are building. And today as we look at the farmer and see how he has to work and see some of the things that he has to know in order to be a good farmer, I pray you would show us what we need to do in order to be the kind of a servant you want us to be. And as the song said, we want to be a servant that's willing to do or to go any way you want us to do. Come speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Lord of the harvest, and that's what God is looking for. He wants us not just to do work for work's sake. And the best way he could illustrate that for us, I believe, is through the idea of a farmer. The church is to do the work of farming, knowing that we are the bride of Christ. This will teach us about the growing process. It'll teach us also, as we close the service, about the love principle. I've been very busy today, and I just wanted to share this with you, the idea that God is reminding us that he uses the illustration of a farm to help us see what he has to say. It's given to us in the book of Mark, chapter 4, the first portion of Scripture that I want to use to describe it. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Now, scatter seed on the ground was kind of the way they did it in their day. You and I have seen a farmer pulling a big machine behind him, which is planting the corn seed in the spring or the wheat or whatever it is. They would just take and cast it. They would just take their hands and swing it, and the seed would disappear. And they got really good at doing that. He said the farmer cast a seed on the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise up by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. The farmer himself, he does not know how this happens, for the earth yields the crops by itself. And the farmer's sowing the seed, and now he's just got to wait. You're going to hear the idea of patience this morning. We just got to wait. He's sown the seed, but he can get up and stay up all night, but it isn't going to make the seed do it any quicker. But listen to what it says. First the blade comes. That's then you see that little green thing coming up that is a seed from the seed. And then he says, as a little green thing begins to grow, I seen the cornfield, and so have you, you know, when it's just about 3 inches high or so. And as it gets a little taller, you can see the rows that it was sown in as you and I look at the cornfield. We can see that all of a sudden the whole field is becoming green. And, you know, that says first the blade and then the head, then it gets a little taller. And then after that, there's the full grain. So it's a process that it goes through. And when the process is finished, he says, then the grain is ripened immediately. It becomes to be sickle time in that day and age, about harvest time is what it was, because there's something very special has happened as that crop has grown. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what shall we picture shall we use? He said, I want to illustrate it even further than what I have about the seed. He said, it's like a mustard seed, which is sown in the ground, and it becomes a greater than all herbs, all the little branches, shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with as many such branches, he spoke the word to them that they were to hear. They will put this parable into meanings in their own life. And when he is alone, he explained that parable to them. What is he talking about? What is he trying to show us? He said, you know, my church, Jesus is saying, is going to be like a farm and the farmer and the seed and the soil and the growing season and the growing process. Each thing has its own growing process. And he tells us it takes time. So it's going to teach us patience. When you're doing the work of God, one of the things that we need to have is patience. We're looking for instant gratification in our society today. We want to do this and see this happen. But sometimes he's saying it's a process. It's a growing process. The seed is scattered, and it takes some time before the seed is going to produce what it's going to do. And when it starts to grow, it's very small. That plant coming up out of the ground is tremendously small. But then as it grows, things begin to happen. And we'll look at that as we go along in our time. But then I love the illustration that Jesus gave. When he said, I want you to think with me about a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed in that day and age was one of the smallest seeds that there was. It's just very, very fine seed. Just a teeny little thing. And yet it produces a plant that is many, many hundreds of times bigger than the seed was itself. That's the growing process. That's what God wants you to know. And then he says there's different purposes for different things. Now that mustard seed grows up this big plant, and it provides shade for the birds. It provides a comfort for the birds. And he's trying to make us understanding that in this work that we're going to do for God, there's going to be many different purposes that it needs to fulfill. The parable of the seed reveals that God is at work in nature. Man has a part to act in promoting the growth of the grain. He must prepare and enrich the soil, and the man must cast the seed. He must do the planting. He must till the field and the kind of things that need to be tilled, which would be cultivated. I remember that from the onion field days. You cultivated the onions. We used to use what was called a wheel hole. We did one between two rows of onions. We would do a wheel hole down through it and get rid of it. They had knives on it. It would get rid of the weeds in between the rows. As time went on, we got a thing called a rototiller. And that rototiller would take and drive. You could take six rows at once. That's the way you planted them, six rows at once. You could rototill them six rows at once. He said, the man has to take care of that. God doesn't do that stuff. God does what man cannot do. Man must put forth his effort to do the best that he can according to his ability. But when it comes down to it, he must depend upon God, who has the connection between the sowing and the reaping. That's where God takes over. And God doesn't hurry for anyone in those kinds of things. His own power produces the growth. I love that example of the mustard seed. It's one of the smaller seeds, but it grows such a big, huge plant. And God, you know what God said one time? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you could accomplish the impossible. Faith as a mustard seed. Sometimes people are thinking, I just need to have a bigger faith, a larger faith. I need more faith. I think what I love is the man that, when Jesus asked him to have faith, the man that said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't think God is saying to you, what you need is more faith. I think you need some belief with your unbelief. You need some faith about your unbelief. You know what it said about that farmer, one of the Bible verses? I forget just where it is right now. It just popped into my mind. He says, the farmer must plow in hope. You would never put the plow in the ground if you're just going to think, I wonder if there really will be a harvest. He's saying, you got to plow with hope. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to accomplish this in your life as an individual. He's saying, the work that I want you to do, Jesus is saying to my church, I want it to be a faith work. I want you to be trusting in God and realizing you're supposed to do your part. But you know what? Let God do his part. You know when Christians get in trouble? Christians get in trouble when they don't do their part and they try to do God's part. You and I can't make the seed grow. And even if that farmer gets up every morning and looks at it and sees what's going on with it, it isn't going to make any difference. I love the idea of the Old Testament, what it had to say about farming. Now listen to this verse from Isaiah chapter 28. There's a couple of verses. Give ear and hear my voice. Give attention and hear my speech. It's God's talking. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Is that all a farmer does, is plows continually? Does he continually open up and hollow out his ground when he has leveled its surface? Does he not scatter dill seed or cumin seed? Does he not plant wheat and rows and barley in a proper place? You realize he's saying he's instructed by God. The farmer decides what is the best thing, but he does it in a faith purpose. The idea is, you know what? You can't just do one thing. You can't just plow. It's like saying, you know, the farmer, he's been plowing, and now he's got the field that he normally plowed. There's another field that he hasn't plowed maybe for a year or two. Now he goes and plows that field. There's some place where he has never had to plow in the ground yet. That's all he does. The farmer just plows. Now, in our day and age, when everything is so sophisticated, so to speak, you can hire somebody who just plows. That's all they do. You can hire a person to come in and plow your land. But you know what? There's more to farming than plowing. There's more to farming than a lot of plowing. Listen to another portion of Scripture in Hosea chapter 10. Sow for yourselves righteousness and reap mercy. He's saying, you know what? There's this idea that seed has to be sown. Seed has to be planted. And if seed is planted, then it's a possibility of a harvest. You have to know it's not enough just thinking about plowing. There's more to it than plowing. You know, he's trying to teach us. He says, till he comes, you got to trust in the Lord. You got to seek the Lord. You got to depend upon the Lord. Till he comes and the rain rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, he said, and you reaped iniquity. I want you to plow some righteousness and reap mercy. You have eaten the fruit of lies, he says, because you trusted in your own way. You know, you trusted in the mighty ability that you have. And that's going to get you into trouble, God is saying. You can't do it on your own, number one. And number two, you can't do God's part and leave your part undone. God is saying to you, you got to sow the seed. Today we're thinking about that farmer and his work described in the Old Testament as a farmer needs to plow and make ready the earth as he levels the surface for seeding time. This farmer does not just plow and plow and plow and plow, and now there he says we're waiting to harvest a crop. No, nothing's going to come. The farmer's work is much more than plowing. He's plowing for a purpose of sowing a seed. And the sowing of a seed is for a purpose that there might be a harvest of the crop. The farmer has made progress in our day and age. I was thinking as I remember seeing an Amish farmer walking behind a one-bottom plow. And he's being pulled by a horse. I just Googled, because I like to Google things, and I thought, I wonder what the biggest plow there is. And so I Googled the idea of a huge plow, and I came across the video. I can't show you the video, of course, but I can tell you what it was under if you wanted to look at it sometime. It's called the Big Bud Plow Pole. The Big Bud Pole, P-U-L, pulling. It's a huge 21-bottom plow that a tractor is pulling. 21-bottom plow. It was neat in that video to see how wide of a piece of territory was being turned over in that plowing process. And then when you think that maybe an Amish gentleman is plowing with a single-bottom plow, and all of a sudden you realize that there's something even valuable, that this plow is pulling 21-bottom plow. What ability that is, and what a special thing that is to know that that was a lot of progress made. I like the illustration of the farm because God is teaching us that there is more to farming than plowing. There needs to be a time for seed, and seed time takes time. There needs to be a time of waiting for the harvest, and that takes time. I like a verse in Proverbs 24 which gives us this idea of God's blessing. That he says, a farmer too lazy to plant in the spring has nothing to harvest in the fall. Let me just give you a little illustration about what happened when my wife and I was married. You know, I wanted to have a little garden. We had a little spot, and so I had rototilled it, which is the way that I'd turn that soil over, planted a garden. And you know, your young love, you'd think I was going to have some radishes because they grow pretty fast. And so I went out in the garden, and I drew a heart. And then I made a radish seed I put into that heart, into the outline of the heart. And so I was going to, when they came up, you know, my wife would say, man, that's pretty special. Do a picture of a heart. Well, I was waiting for the seed to come up, and it didn't come up, and I got impatient. So I went out there to scratch a little bit in the seed and see what was going on. Why it wasn't, I thought by this time, whatever time I gave it, it should be up. But it wasn't. So I'd go scratch in the ground and find out what's going on. Well, after a while, the seed did grow, and the radishes came up. But every place where I had kind of, It was the funniest looking heart you could ever see because it had all these little wings on it, you know, these little outriggers, so to speak, where I had moved the seat around. And so it wasn't a good, you could still tell it was a heart. And it did the purpose that I wanted to do. She thought that was really a neat thing, you know. But listen to what the scripture reminds us of. He says, sowing and reaping, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, he shall reap. In the book of Isaiah, he said, you've been sowing lies and wickedness. That's what you're going to reap. Why don't you sow some righteousness, some good seed, and then reap some mercy? And that's what God is saying to each one of us today. I want to do one more thought. Wait a little longer for the song this morning. I want to do this thought because it ends up being something that is tied right into what we're talking about now. You know, there's Jesus one day, as he was speaking to them about the ground and sowing seeds. So we got the ground all plowed, folks. We got the ground all leveled out. It looks beautiful. And now we've sown the seed. And then Jesus one day says, he left his house and he sat down by the seaside of Galilee. The crowd gathered around him. They wanted to listen to him teach. And all of a sudden, the crowd got bigger than they anticipated. And so Jesus got into a boat. And he's off on the shore just a little ways. And the water became his amplifier. He began speaking. And then he used the story as an illustration to tell them things. Listen to how he starts. Listen. A farmer went to plant some seed. And some of the seed were planted along the side of the road. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds were planted on rocky ground. There was a little soil. The plants sprouted quite quickly because the soil wasn't very deep. But when the sun came up, they were all scorched. They withered because their roots were not deep enough. Other seed was planted among the thorns and the thistles and so on. And the thistles grew faster than the seed that was sown. And it choked out. It choked the plant out. Then he says, other seeds were planted on some good ground. And it produced a grain. It was a harvest. The other ones had no harvest. It produced 100 or 60 or 30 times as much as was planted. Let the person who has ears listen. You know what God is saying? There's different kinds of soil. There's different kinds of soil that can cause the difference in what happens in the crop. Now, I'm not going to explain that. What I want to do this morning is let Jesus explain that, because he got a little later with his disciples, and they said, we don't quite understand. So Jesus explains the different types of soil. Listen to what the story is about the farmer means. Some hears the word of God about the kingdom, but they don't understand it. And then the evil one comes at once and snatches away that which was planted in him. That is the seed planted along the road, illustrates. The seed planted on the rocky ground, Jesus is saying, is the person who hears the word and accepts it at once with joy. Since he doesn't have any root, he don't last only just a little while. When suffering comes or persecution, the heat of the day, comes along because of the word, he immediately falls from faith. He just walks away from it. The seed planted among the thorns and the bushes is among the person who hears the word, but he worries about life and deceitful pleasures of riches and choke out the word so that it can't produce anything. But God says, this is what I want you to know, Jesus is saying. But the seed planted on the good ground is the person who hears and understands the word. This type of produces a crop. They produce 100 or 60 or 30 times what was planted. So as we think about that, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of soil are we? Jesus is talking about the fact that this soil is different types. Are you the kind that's so hard out by the road, so to speak, that the birds devour it? Or Satan comes, you hear the word, and Satan comes and takes it away? Or that which is found amongst the rocks? There's a little bit of dirt in there, so it grows fast, but man, it disappears fast. God doesn't only want you to have a good beginning, He wants you to have a good ending. And others, you know, they hear the word and they want to believe and they want to walk with it. I remember a gentleman saying to me one time, "Man, Pastor, I just love going to church, but I've got other things that I want to do, and I'm afraid that church life is going to take over my life, and so I'm just going to quit coming." That's what happens. The cares of the world or the things that you want to do just for yourself chokes out what you can do for others. But then he reminds us there's some good ground too. And out of that good ground comes the realization that it produced 30, 60, 90 times more than was produced. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want us to listen to a song. And this song is saying wedding music, because the wedding music is beginning to play. Did you ever notice? Sometimes they play wedding music long before the wedding is to start. It's kind of getting you set into that idea. And that's what we're going to listen to, this song about wedding music that's getting us ready for the truth that one of these days the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and be a part of your life and a part of my life. And he wants us to know that's going to be the great wedding feast. So let's listen to this music, and I'll be right back in just a few moments. And God's richest blessing be upon you as we allow the word of God to sink down deep into our heart.
Preparation.
is that wedding music I hear. That wedding music is the idea that the time of Jesus' return is very, very close. He's coming back for his bride, the church. I'm going to talk about that in just a few moments, but I got one more thought I want to share with you, which is my favorite way of explaining how this seeding and planting and all this stuff goes to work. There's work that we need to do. There's work that we need to do, but we need to do it with patience. You can't hurry it along. It takes time. And it takes time before the harvest comes. And I can tell you from the Bible times, there's things that the people did in biblical times, and they had faith and trust that it was going to take place, but the harvest didn't take place till after they was gone. And many times that's the way it is. The harvest you might do in somebody else's life, you might do all of the plowing, all of the seeding, all of the cultivating, and God does all the watering, and somebody else steps up and does something else, and then all of a sudden somebody down the road reaps the harvest. We need to realize we need to be busy doing the things he wants us to do, but it doesn't always mean we're going to see the harvest. But one of the best ways that I can find that I love to see it is the story that's given to us in Mark chapter 4:27. Listen to these verses. The farmer plants the seed, and then he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how it grows. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear, and then the ripe grain is harvested. And at harvest time has come, and he receives the reward for all that he's done along with God's help. That's what we talked about just a few moments ago. When I think of the growing process in our area, I think of two things. The two biggest things that I think of, and I know there's wheat and soybean and that, but the two biggest things that I see is the cornfields. I love the cornfields. And the second big thing that I see when I just go up in the Edmore area and so on is potato fields. All of the potatoes. I remember that because of picking potatoes for when I was a kid growing up. I went to Muskrat School, folks. And in those days, they even gave in that area, Sydney area and so on, you had what was called a potato vacation, where the school closed for a week so that during potato harvesting time, the kids could pick potatoes. And that was a big part of that life. But maybe think about the corn. When I see the corn, let me just do this with you. The farmer plants the seed of the corn. And pretty soon you see it, and it's like I said, first the blade. All of a sudden, there it is, 4 or 5 inches high. Whenever I see that, I always say, nice straight rows that farmer planted. Time goes on, and it takes time, and you can't hurry it. And all of a sudden, it's getting close to the last of June, the first part of July. And you know what is said about cornfields. Knee high by the 4th of July. I still, even at my age, like to stop by a field. You know what I've noticed this year? The cornfields, very little of them looked like there was going to be knee high. Then all of a sudden we got some rain and some hot heat. And you know what I thought wasn't going to be knee high was sometimes even much more than knee high. And now we see corn along the road 6-7 feet high. There it is, that big green stalk. And one day you drive by and there's a tassel on the top of that big green stalk. And then one day you drive by and there's something projecting itself out of one side of that stalk. What in the world is that? And then one day you drive by and you recognize that there's silk on the end of that thing that came out of that stalk, and that's that ear that's getting started. And then I looked it up in a college in Washington. It says that tassel on the top goes to work with all those silks, and every one of those silks is hooked to a kernel of corn. And then we watch, as we're seeing right now, the cornfields begin to dry down. They begin to dry, and that corn now, man, it's a nice ear of corn. And you know what? In that college in Washington, they said, the farmer planted one seed, and the average number of seeds on a kernel, on an ear of corn is from 700 to 800 kernels. The farmer planted one, and it produced 70, 80 times what was there. And it's a reminder to you and I that God is saying the best is yet to come. And I believe that. But you know what? If that wasn't the way it worked, we would have ran out of food a long time ago. So it's a reminder that's the way it works. But it takes patience. I love the way patience is described in the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Be patient, therefore, brothers, unto the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming back. Way back there, they were saying, be patient. He's coming. See, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early rain and the latter rain. I love that. The early rain, just after the seed's been planted, will cause it to grow very good. Then he says, so you be patient with one another. He said, do not grumble against one another, brother, so you may not be judged. Do you notice that he's saying, be patient, be patient. This seed is going to harvest. There's going to be a harvest. And that harvest is going to be a beautiful thing. But he wants us to remind ourselves it's a slow process. And in the process, you and I waiting for the Lord Jesus to come, he said we should be busy trying to get others into the kingdom of the church and understanding of what God has done for us. I love a verse in Galatians 6:9. Let us not get tired about doing good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. God doesn't want us to give up. Let me tell you why. He doesn't want us to give up because he's been talking about his church. He's building his church. You know what the church is? The last picture I want you to think of as we close this morning. The church is his bride. Jesus is the groom. Jesus is the husband. You and I are the bride. And he wants us to know that that's something that is very special. I'm not going to get into all the things that sometimes gets into as they talk about these verses. I'm just going to start the way the scripture, I believe, starts it out. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love your wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. But no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall join to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of us in particular so love our wives as himself, and that the wives see that the church, that the wives see that she respects her husband. You know what God's really saying to us? He said, I want you to understand that the groom has done everything he can. This husband-to-be, Jesus, is doing everything he can to help make the church become what he wants it to be. He's the one that got it started in the first place. And now he says, you know what? I want that church to grow, and I want that church to be a glorious church. I want it to be without spot or wrinkle. I want it to be without any blemish. And he said, now to bring that about, what I'm doing about that, Jesus said, is I'm loving the church. I'm loving the church. And I want the church to do something in return, to have some respect for Jesus. Some respect for all that he's trying to do for us and in us and through us. That's what he speaks a little further on when he says, place yourself under each other's authority. You know, this idea of being under authority for a wife under the husband and so on and that kind of thought. But he started out different than that. He says, place yourselves under each other's authority out of respect for Christ. Wives, place yourself under the husband's authority as to have a place to place yourselves under the Lord's authority. You know what he's saying to husbands and wives? Place yourself under each other's authority. That's what's going to work the best. And that's what he's saying to the church. Place yourself as a believer under the authority of the Lord Jesus. Let the Lord Jesus go to work in your life in the way that he wants. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord Jesus says, it's easy for you to do that. It's easy for any wife to be in subjection, so to speak, if the husband loves the way Jesus loves the church. And that's what he wants from you and I. That's what he wants from our lives. He's coming back to get us, folks, one day. And when he comes back to get us, he wants us to be ready to meet him and to become his bride. But he also got some ways that he wants that bride to be. He wants her to be ready for his coming. And that's what we need to be working on day by day, today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next week, and the next month. You know what, folks? This all began with the fact that Jesus said one day, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that rest is what he wants to give to our hearts and to our lives. As I go on my way, Jesus is saying, "Come unto me, come unto me." God bless you. Thank you for letting me share.
My yoke is easy and my burden is light.